The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
I always look about, you know, teams who've won a league, their mindsets, their body language, their hunger, desire. And I see that so much in this Liverpool team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Rory McIlroy's game has changed a lot.
The OTB Brief. Weekday mornings from 7:20 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
Let's talk about German Formula One and the son of the legend, Michael Schumacher, Mick Schumacher. Some 30 years after his dad, who went on to win 7 world titles, he is going to have a drive in Formula One for next season with the Haas team. He's going to be with them for the next 2 seasons, and he's getting bumped up to drive. And potentially, he's saying he's ready to drive this weekend because Haas will probably have to get a driver to fill in for Romain Grosjean. He says he's probably not going to get the call to drive for them, but we could see Mick Schumacher as early as this weekend. To chat about all this and Lewis Hamilton missing his first ever Grand Prix since he got his first drive back in 2007, we're joined by Leo Nolte from motorsport.ie. Leo, good evening to you.
Hey, Will, how are you doing? It's all Formula One today, isn't it?
I know, it's kind of been a Formula One week because I think, in fairness, we were all kind of scarily captivated by what happened with Romain Grosjean last weekend. You know, one of the probably worst crashes we've seen in the modern era, and remarkable that the medical teams got to him so quickly and that it seems he's going to make a full recovery from all this despite us seeing the fireball that happened at the weekend, which was scary stuff. And then we get the news about Lewis Hamilton and COVID-19 on Monday, and then we get the confirmation about Mick Schumacher getting the drive with Haas for the next couple of seasons today. So it's been a busy few days for motorsport news. If you don't mind, we might start with Mick Schumacher, because I was looking at a video earlier today of him on his dad's knee going back to when he was a young man, and even at a few months old, it looked like he was destined to follow in his dad's footsteps and become a Formula One driver. That has taken a big step forward now with him getting a place on the team for next season.
Yeah, it's been massive. It's really good for Formula One. It's really good for motorsport. But he's not just there because of his name. You know, a lot of people think he is, and he's protesting that the way Jacques Villeneuve did, I suppose, when people thought he got to Formula One because his father was a famous Ferrari driver. But he's got a lot of performance. He's perhaps, people are saying, maybe a little bit slow to adapt, maybe a little bit slow to learn. So maybe this weekend might be best to throw him straight into the car, or even the weekend after for Abu Dhabi. But he's certainly very, very quick. He's doing well. And it's wonderful PR for everybody. Ferrari, he's part of the Ferrari Driver Academy. Mm. So for Formula One in general, it's brilliant to have that name back there. And of course, he's going to have massive support.
Yeah, because this isn't as simple as nepotism. Some people might wonder, have Ferrari just signed him because his dad was their best ever driver, and come what may, he was going to get a chance on a Formula One team. He's had to work his way up the lower levels to actually get the chance to sit in a cockpit.
He has. He's won a Formula 3 championship. He's leading the Formula 2 championship at the moment. He seems to be in his second year by the time it clicks for him, which is a little bit worrying because Formula 1 testing is quite restricted. But oh, absolutely, he has got the talent and he'll have huge support. And Ferrari have always said they're watching him. So there's a chance he'll go on to emulate his father. Let's see how that works out. But it's wonderful to see him. And it's great to see Haas putting their faith in him. Of course, it's a big change for Haas because they got rid of both of their drivers, which is an unusual thing to do. And normally they'll try and keep an experienced driver, but they've got 2 new drivers now for 2021.
What kind of car is he going to have under him with Haas for next season then?
Well, you know, who knows? But maybe Ferrari will give them that little bit extra help if they got their protege in the car. You know, they've got Ferrari power in that car. They would get a little bit of help from Ferrari. So, mind you, you know, the Ferrari of this year hasn't been wonderful. So maybe you wouldn't want too much help from them. It's hard to know, but it'll certainly be a midfield car. And if he's got flashes of pace like we suspect he has, we'll see them.
Yeah, for Ferrari themselves, I mean, they're obviously in a complete rebuild now at this point, and it's been a while since they've been able to challenge. And they've made the step of going with 2 pretty young drivers for next season themselves. And I guess that clear out is probably pretty understandable.
Yeah, the Vettel thing is hard to fathom, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, a multiple world champion, Sebastian Vettel, and just has fallen out with the team. And then you'd suggest to work. There's always been politics with Ferrari. You only have to listen to some of the stuff that Niki Lauda said or any previous Ferrari driver. They've always been quite difficult to get on with. And he fell out of favour with them. He wasn't happy with the car. Don't think he's been getting the help he wants. So a lot of people hoping for a renaissance from him when he moves on to Aston Martin next year. But Charles Leclerc has certainly done a far better job than Vettel this year. But difficult, difficult times for the Scuderia. Yeah.
Do you reckon Vettel still, if he has a decent car underneath him at Aston Martin, he still has the ability to be a world champion? Because there's kind of been those few swipes over the last year or so about whether Vettel actually has the motivation and drive within himself to actually put it up to Lewis Hamilton again.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't forget how to do it. I think if you fall out of love with the team and there are politics involved, you're not getting what you're supposed to get. I think that could happen. I mean, we used to say things like that about Michael Schumacher, that he was a flawed genius and he had his up days and down days. Famously parked in Monaco to stop qualifying and did some other stuff. Was a little bit physical with Jack Villeneuve on track. And Vettel has certainly made mistakes in the last few years under pressure. But I think we've seen some days this year where it's still there. I hope it is, because it'll be great to see him, particularly trying to have a go at the Ferraris next year if he's got a good car under him.
For the sport, when it comes to Mick Schumacher, I mean, the Schumacher name itself has its own value. Is it likely to put even more eyes back onto the product where, you know, people who are interested in his dad might well have a look and see how he gets on with Haas next season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, already he's got a wave of support. It's more important for him than other drivers that he performed on the way up, because he probably could have got a lot of the way there with this massive support. Like, there's huge interest in him. And there was, in his first year in Formula 2, he wasn't particularly impressive. Now, this year he's good, you know, he's really good. But his first year there was still huge media attention on him, and quite understandably so. So that would have been quite difficult for him. But he's got the head down. He's going very well at the moment. He's speaking well. He's doing all the right things. And he's coming to Formula 1 next year.
Yeah, he did his interview where he mentioned that, you know, potentially if a drive is needed for this weekend and Haas want him to sub in for Grosjean, no problem, I'm ready to go. It would seem, though, it's probably a little bit early for that to happen, and Haas are kind of playing down the talk about that already.
It's a fickle business. You wouldn't like to see him go out there too quick. I mean, ideally, you'd love to see him with a winter's testing coming out, but as I said earlier, Formula 1 testing can be, you know, it's quite restricted. But I don't think it would be a particularly good idea to throw him in straight away with Russell, with what's going on with Russell and Hamilton. Obviously, that's a different story. But I don't think, it would be great to see the Schumacher name on the grid, and it would be great for Formula 1. But I think it might be better for his career development if he didn't get into the car just yet.
Yeah, we can wait till 2021 and he can be exactly 30 years after his dad going out in Belgium back in 91. When it comes to what happened last weekend in Bahrain, I think, you know, a lot of people who were following along, and just the nature of kind of social media, everyone probably saw the video of Grosjean within moments of it happening. Just as a fan of the sport and watching it last Sunday, kind of scary scenes initially. And it's remarkable to see him now, you know, sitting up in bed in hospital. Okay, he's taken some heavy burns along the way, but it looks like he's going to make a full recovery after what can only really be described as a horror crash last weekend.
Well, it was a horror crash, and it looked horrendous, but there's a lot of positives to be taken out of it. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when you wouldn't have survived a crash like that. That's not that long ago, actually. And the work that's been done by Formula 1 with safety, pioneered probably by Sir Jackie Stewart initially, you know, he was ridiculed for trying to bring safety into Formula 1 in the 60s and 70s. And they used to lose quite a lot of drivers, and it got better gradually. And unfortunately, it tended to take a really bad accident for that to make steps forward. And Ayrton Senna's was his legacy, I suppose, is a lot of increased safety in F1. But the crash was very frightening, and some fuel did spill and ignited, obviously. But the survival cell, the cell where he sat in, stayed intact, and the halo, which a lot of people gave out about, it's not the prettiest thing in the world, really proved its worth. That's the ring that goes around the driver's head, for want of a better description for non-F1 fans. And that really did. It wouldn't have been a nice accident at all had that not been on the car. So a lot of positives to take away from it. The fact that he walked away from the car, the fact that he's on social media the next day, it's just wonderful. It's great to see, and I hope they will continue. There's an FIA investigation about the whole incident now, and I'm sure that'll improve it again and step it forward again. It was a high-speed accident with huge G's when he stopped. You know, the fact that he was able to stand up and get out, never mind the fire, was impressive stuff.
And also, I thought, very impressive how quickly the medical team were able to react too. I think they clocked it around 20 seconds between the time that he hits the barrier and the medical team are over to begin the support to get him out of the car at that point. So it just goes to show the safety measures have come on a lot in the last decade or so as well.
Well, they have, but anybody that does support at a Grand Prix or even down to Mandela Park grassroots levels, you know, the marshals are the key. They're well trained. They work hard. In Ireland, we've got some of the best ones in the world. I was speaking to Brian Manning earlier, who's done F1. He started off Mandela F1 marshal now, was giving me a lot of facts and details about that incident, you know. And the medical car was behind them because it was on the first lap and got there really quickly. And those two guys, absolute heroes to charge in there. They didn't know if the car was going to explode, if it was going to be a secondary explosion, if more fuel was going to come out. And they certainly, would he have got out? I don't know. He might have, but certainly they helped an awful lot. Charged straight into the middle of that inferno, and the fire marshals that got there, they all did a superb job. And, you know, and we do tend to thank them in motorsport, but maybe not enough. So it's kind of good that everything worked out and he walked away, because we can highlight those guys a bit like the frontline workers that we're thanking all the time in motorsport. We wouldn't be able to go racing if we didn't have marshals.
Yeah, and Grosjean, we talked about his resilience. He gave his interview just a couple of days ago, and he was asked about it. He said, I've got some Niki Lauda-style burns here, but most of it's superficial. You know, my hands feel fine, and I want to get back in the car as quickly as I possibly can. So I get the impression he's not going to be on the shelf for too long.
Well, he's kind of lost his drive, and his career looks like it's possibly ending. And I think there was an interview done with him a couple of weeks ago, and the headline was Grosjean's career is ending and there's nothing he can do about it. Like almost a quote from him. So it's very tough times when he's trying to, you know, to sell his wares and get a good performance. So he will do anything he can. He'll move heaven and earth to get back into that car, but it'll be a medical decision, I'm sure, rather than anything else. But certainly, if you believe his social media post, he's in great form. He's been charming, smiling. He's earned himself a legion of fans over the last week, which is also great. But as we said, a lot of positives from that crash.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton said he was devastated by the fact that he won't be able to drive this coming weekend. He's picked up COVID-19. Doubts about whether he'll be able to drive in either of the last two races. Now, understandably, given the 2020 he's had, you know, he's equaled Michael Schumacher on the 7 World Championships. He's beaten Schumacher in terms of the race wins. He's set numerous records throughout the season. If you're driving in that kind of form, I'd imagine genuinely, despite having the World Championship already wrapped up, Lewis Hamilton would have wanted to finish the season with two more wins.
Oh, absolutely. He's hugely competitive. You know, Hamilton has always been described as Marmite. You either love him or hate him, and he gets a lot of massive support. A lot of people really don't like him, but you know, I suppose a little bit like Nigel Mansell, in the car he's unbelievable. Out of the car, maybe not so much sometimes, you know. But Hamilton's at the top of his game at the moment. It's really hard for his teammates, you know, because he's not making any mistakes. He's super quick. He's thinking, you know, he's been doing it for so long. Winning makes you better, and he's done an awful lot of it. So I'm sure he is really, really disappointed. From our point of view, from the fans' point of view, it's a really cool thing. You know, I mean, we wish him all the best and hope he gets better. But to take the one guy that's dominated away, all of a sudden we're plumping up our pillows. Where are you watching the Grand Prix on Sunday? I've had all those calls today, you know. We set up a group chat, what do we do? So there's a huge interest in it because of that. And why wouldn't there be, you know? I'm sure Paddy Power and all the bookies are all going mad over this. There's suddenly massive interest. We don't know who's going to win.
And who's going to sub in for him this weekend then? What's the feeling on this?
Well, the decision was made this morning. If I look a little bit tired, that's because my phone started beeping at about 5:30 and 6:00 this morning because of all the stuff I'm subscribed to. The internet almost broke this morning because George Russell, the Williams driver, who's excelled this year for Williams, he's been absolutely brilliant. He's got the nod. He was Mercedes supported and was with Williams. And a lot of people thought Stoffel Van Dorn would have got the drive because he was a Mercedes reserve driver. But I would have thought that would happen. I was hoping it would be Russell because it's just going to be so exciting. I mean, it's big pressure for him, but he's really, really quick. He's done a season of F1. He's not being pulled from anywhere else, and he's going into the best car on the grid. That's every driver's dream. It's a lot of pressure, but it's every driver's dream.
It's potential for Russell as well, I'm guessing, to put himself into the shop window somewhat here. You know, you mentioned that everyone is trying to impress along the way. You get yourself into the best car. If you can win the Grand Prix and show that you can win in the car that the current world champion is winning in, that doesn't do your career prospects any damage at all.
No, but his career is on a high and he's already highly rated. So there is a potential downside in that this people will think this is your big chance. And if you don't make it work, you know, realistically, if he qualifies in the top 3 or 4, that's impressive stuff. If he starts from the front row, that's really impressive stuff, you know. But the fact that we're talking about it and debating it is really good. It's really interesting, you know. But it is a shootout between himself and Bottas. You know, they're saying it's not, but it is. You know, Bottas has probably underperformed slightly this year. And he's been used to the car, and on his day, he's incredibly quick. He's only fractions, thousands from Lewis Hamilton, sometimes quicker. But George Russell has a big ask to do because his career, you know, it'll be a big pointer for his career. He's on the Mercedes ladder already. He probably will end up in one, but he has to perform to some extent. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder as well how much of an adjustment that is to actually switch into a new car as soon as it is to coming around to the Grand Prix. That, like, in fairness, some people will probably argue, look, you're still going out, you're still driving around a track, but at the same time, it's a big adjustment to have to make here.
It is. It's a different car, and you've got to learn the characteristics of the car. You know, even down to the buttons on the steering wheel are probably quite different. The engineer will be different. It's not the engineer you've been dealing with. You know, the car might use its tires differently. It'll certainly be better in most areas, but yes, it's a big, big change for him. It's a big ask for him, but it's not one that any driver is going to refuse. You know, you're not going to refuse because you think you have to learn too much. It's the ultimate opportunity for him. It really is. His stock is already very, very high. You know, he's dragged that Williams car way further up the grid than it should be this year, and everybody is talking about him. He's been on podcasts. He's a really likable guy. He's very good on social media. Everything is going his way. And now all of a sudden, Santa has come early and said, here's Lewis Hamilton's car for a race.
You've already kind of hinted that, you know, Lewis Hamilton isn't exactly universally loved, despite the fact he's smashing through all these records. And, you know, potentially he's going to go past seven, given the form that he's in. I'll be shocked if he doesn't rack up 10 by the end of his career, if he's as interested and keeps his interest and ambition up along the way. Why is he not necessarily found fans and favour, that he's not maybe a fan favourite in the same way that people didn't seem to mind that Schumacher was dominant?
I suppose social media has a lot to answer for there, doesn't it? I mean, Michael Schumacher didn't have Twitter back in the day, or, you know, Lewis can be quite opinionated, you know, and sometimes in a good way, but he's got a big voice, he's got a lot of followers, and it's the way social media's gone at the moment. You're always going to get resistance anyway, so that's probably what that is, you know. But he is incredible. He has written his name in history. He's a great performer. I'm not happy he's not in the car this weekend. Only for the reason that we'll see somebody else, a young superstar, get a shot in this car this weekend, which is absolutely incredible. You know, you couldn't hope for that. We know Lewis Hamilton will be okay. I think he's practically asymptomatic. He says he's going to get better. There's no problems with him. That's the official news. But he could be out for two races. Who knows? You know, unless he tests clear again after this one. So Russell could get another run, potentially, in Abu Dhabi.
Is maybe part of that not particular love for Hamilton as well how dominant he has been for the last decade too? Because, you know, he has been the outstanding driver. He's racking up win after win after win. After a while, is there just kind of a feeling among the community they'd love to see someone to challenge him, or even someone to take a world championship and have him to maybe fight for one after that?
Well, that's sport, isn't it, Will? Mm. Any sport, you know, you don't want to see dominance. They used to say in marketing, it's the law of diminishing returns, but it's the same for the fans. You know, you don't want to expect or know who's going to win beforehand, or look at the grid and know who's going to win. You want it to be a proper scrap. We love when that happens. And there's been a lot of them midfield lately, and we might see one this weekend. We could potentially see Bottas, Verstappen and George Russell going at it, you know, that which would be absolutely fantastic.
And it's a remarkably long time since Hamilton has actually missed out in a Grand Prix. He made his debut back in 2007. He's driven in every race since. That probably says a lot about his fitness, his ability to battle illness along the way. You know, people miss races from time to time. People maybe have a year where they're without a drive or whatever else. Lewis Hamilton's been top of his game really since he's broken through, which is what makes him missing this weekend all the more remarkable, really.
Yeah, it does. I suppose it's this terrible virus that we're all dealing with at the moment. You know, it's surprising that he caught it, I suppose. But drivers are precluded from doing any dangerous activities now, whereas back in the 70s, they used to have one of them survived a hang gliding accident. They used to have a twist their ankle, said they were playing tennis, you know, whatever else they'd be doing, all sorts of motorcycle scrambling. Their contracts say they can't do any of that sort of stuff anymore. So it is very unfortunate for Lewis Hamilton. But he's proved his point. He's dominated this season. He's already won the world championship, you know. As you touched on earlier, of course he'd want to be out there, and of course he'd want another win. But he has the job done and the boxes ticked already this year.
What's the feeling about the season? Because it was obviously a rocky start. Everything had to get pushed back from the moment that COVID-19 became an issue back in Melbourne. And then we had a bit of a wait before we got underway with the back-to-back Grand Prix in Britain and in Austria, and no fans and bubbles and everything that happened. And every sport's been affected, but Formula One had that very kind of unusual start to the season. You know, Grand Prix lost from the calendar along the way. How is this 2020 season going to be remembered?
Personally, I think it's brilliant. You know, I didn't think we were going to get any racing at the start. And even to a die-in-the-wool fan like me, you'd be trying to remember what was the last race, who's leading the championship. This has just been bang, 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 race every weekend almost, you know. And it's wonderful to see, because we know who won the last one straight away. We're almost on to the next one. You know, it's been really, really good that way. The racing has been fantastic. Certainly mid-grid, the scraps between mid-grid, Renault recovering, you know. And I think we've all learned a little bit more about Formula One for some of the documentaries that have been around. And you realise that every member of every team in every fibre of their body wants to win. There are little victories being won all the way up and down the pit lane, and it's great to see. And I think some of them have had a chance to shine in the manner of Russell this weekend, and maybe Haas will get to shine with new driver lineup. So it's very, very exciting. It's Lewis Hamilton dominating, I suppose, is probably the only point that you would change if you were to change anything in it. But it's been particularly exciting. And Max Verstappen has been inching closer to the Mercedes as well.
Yeah, and I guess no more so when we were all in lockdown back in March, that the Last Dance probably made basketball quite attractive to people again watching that. The very, very glossy Formula One documentary pieces that are on Netflix, I think a lot of my friends watched them and actually got a bit of a love for the sport again. That was actually a great advertisement for the sport while everything was in lockdown.
Yeah, well, I was the same, you know, and I mean, I watch every Grand Prix, obviously, but you go and see that and you see what goes on, you see the passion and you see what really goes on, the fighting and, you know, all the politics and what they're up against and how hard they all try. And how ecstatic they are. Like, you know, for some of the teams to get it into the top 10 is incredible. And maybe they're happier than Mercedes or Red Bull when they get a win. And yeah, as you said, to get a peek into that will give us an extended interest into it and just show us more of this sport.
Yeah, I knew this would be an inevitable text that we would get in from Jack and Galway 53106. Will, can you ask Leo whether Hamilton is as good a driver as Michael Schumacher was, or is it a case of his car doing most of the work? Everyone, particularly since they went seven each, wants to compare the two. So give me where you're at with the two of them then. Who's better than who?
Yeah, I mean, you get asked that all the time, and so do all the motorsport journalists and the websites. It's very, very hard because it's different eras. You know, I mean, Hamilton is uber impressive now, but like, you could say, you know, Gilles Villeneuve, Fangio, Stirling Moss, you can't really compare them because they're in different eras. Mm. But one thing Schumacher did, or was seen to do, certainly more than you'd see, is he got the whole team around him. And, you know, the tyre company, where everyone said he had special tyres, or even the tyres were designed, Bridgestone tyres at the time were designed to suit the Ferrari. He was utterly dominant, you know. Maybe more so than Lewis Hamilton, because he wasn't challenged by his teammate for the reason that he gathered the team around him. You know, certainly he would have had a lot of teammates that would have ended up as number two drivers, really, you know, which maybe is what's happening to Bottas at the moment. But it's very, very difficult to compare them, you know. I suppose Hamilton in the car has been less flawed than Schumacher. You know, there were a lot of times when Schumacher drove people off the track and squeezed people into the pit wall at 170 and 80 miles an hour. And maybe redefine some of the values, and people were worried they were instilling them into young kart racers who were watching this. So it's hard to know, you know. He doesn't have a profile picture, the guy that sent the picture, and it's not a Ferrari or a Mercedes, so I can pick one for him. No,
I haven't seen one yet. And as well, I would have to think as well, Leo, when it comes to this, a lot of people kind of romanticize the era that Michael Schumacher drove in, because we were sitting down watching Murray Walker commentaries. It was on free to air TV. Formula One was probably more to the forefront than before it went behind the paywall. And I think because time has passed too, people tend to kind of, I guess, attach themselves to Schumacher maybe in a way that we're not seeing yet from the modern fans who are probably big Lewis Hamilton fans.
There is that, I suppose, yeah. But the coverage is better now. You certainly see more of their private lives now. You know, I mean, if there wasn't Twitter or anything around and you didn't, the things perhaps that people don't like about Lewis Hamilton, you wouldn't see. He wouldn't have the flaws on track, as I said, that Michael Schumacher had, you know. But Schumacher dominated for such a long, long time. You know, there were seasons where he had to fight, but I was at quite a few of his Grand Prix wins, and like, he stuck it on pole and disappeared, and somebody else might have got a chance to lead for a couple of laps when he was in the pits, you know, changing tyres, and after that he'd come back out and win again. And I suppose, you know, Bottas has been quite close to, he's fallen apart on a couple of occasions, he's been quite close to Lewis Hamilton. But it's hard to know, and as you said, you do romanticise past, time's gone by.
Yeah. On a very final one for you, next season looks like it's going to go back more towards what it previously would have been. Already, you know, Australia are talking about getting clearance for Melbourne to run as planned next season, and the other Grand Prix are getting confirmed almost week on week as we get ready for the start of the 2021 campaign. Are we hopeful, you know, COVID pending in terms of this vaccine coming out and maybe things being a bit better, that we will be back to what will feel like a normal season for next year?
Well, that's what everyone hopes, but who knows? I mean, everything is fluid. Even in the domestic situation here, Mandela Park did a great job this year running a truncated season, but everything was fluid. You know, you're waiting for government guidelines in Sport Ireland and Motorsport Ireland. They all worked really hard as well, and I'm sure it's the same with F1. Yeah, absolutely. The plan would be to get back to some sense of normality, but a little bit of me liked that season being squashed together because so much excitement, and I think there are people that never watched F1 and always thought it was incredibly boring are suddenly pricking up their ears and starting to have a look at it, and that can only be a good thing for Formula One.
And when it comes to the domestic scene as well, a few weeks ago I was talking to the Formula 3 driver Jordan Dempsey, and he was saying that, you know, it's been a very difficult time for him because, you know, travel gets restricted. He was hoping to drive in China and drive in America. He was restricted in terms of the amount of starts he could get here. He got the chance to drive a bit in Brands Hatch a couple of weeks ago, but he was saying it's been a very difficult year for those drivers who are trying to make it here because just the amount of events have been cut down and travel has been so difficult for people as well.
It's very difficult. Jordan is a wonderful driver. You know, he won the Asian F4 championship, went very well in Asian F3, and we'd love to see him get back out there again. But travel restrictions were very difficult. James Rowe was racing in FR Americas, but he lives in America, so it was easier for him to do. You had a number of other drivers, Max Hart and Nicole Drought, both racing in the UK, both got wins over there, but they would have had to quarantine when they come back for 14 days, which makes it very difficult if you've got a day-to-day job to go to, because nobody's professional just yet, you know. And it was very, very difficult, but they've managed it, you know. Young Alex Dunn as well, he's doing karting in Italy and has been really, really quick. There's a lot of young characters coming up. There's a lot of potential in the next few years, I think, in Irish Motor Circuit for some serious talent to emerge. We've got some really quick characters, and Mondello Park are working hard on a lot of ways of developing that talent and nurturing that talent and maybe getting them into cars a little bit from the carts, helping them out that way. So the future is bright.
Well, touch wood, it's going to be a better 2021 for them. Leo, thanks a million for joining us. And you can read more from Leo on motorsport.ie.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.